You know, it's one thing to set a record as a driver, but when you have fewer wins as a driver than this next gentleman who trains, you got to know that guy is doing something right in a big way. Ron Burke is on the other end of my line. Ron, welcome to Trot Radio.
Thank you very much.
You set records in 2010 for wins and earnings. First of all, congratulations. Fantastic year.
Yeah, no, it exceeded expectations.
Now, how do you keep track and manage such a large stable? You know, we hear about guys like this, maybe more so on the thoroughbred side, the Asmussens, the Pletchers, guys like that who've got stables everywhere. You don't see too much of that in harness racing, at least not to the same degree. But then again, there's Ron Burke. How do you all keep it together?
It's not as hard as everybody would think. If you were handed 200 horses and started, you know, from scratch, it might be hard, but every year we've added like 20 to 30 horses, and it's just grown into what it is. And as you go, you figure it out as you went. And it's not an exponential-like thing. It's not like, you know, you have 200 horses, you're doing 10 times as much as somebody with 20 horses. A lot of the things overlap, so it's not as hard as you would think. Plus, you know, we enjoy it.
And you got to have the people. So what kind of lines of communication do you maintain? How many assistant trainers do you have?
I believe there's 17 of us that, you know, that are trainers, 17 riders. And there's, you know, the main ones are my father, me, my brother, Shannon Murphy at the Meadowlands, Jamie Rucker in Indiana, and, you know, a couple other guys in Jersey. But, you know, they basically answer to Shannon, who answers to me.
Now, how do you keep what kind of lines of communication do you have? Is it mostly via the internet, on the phone a lot? What?
A little bit of both. I basically set the board for every horse every day so that I know at least, you know, for at least 5 seconds at least, I thought about that horse every day. And every trainer turns in a sheet a couple times a week with me with the horses that they are looking at that moment. And that way we can, from there, work to move them where they need to go and make sure that every horse gets entered and entered in the correct class.
We talk about your assistant trainers. You know, with so many horses, the first line of defense against, you know, soreness and whatnot has got to be the caretakers. You must have some great grooms.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, that's the thing is, as we've gone every year, you know, add another what we call, you know, people that are going to be with us forever. And it's become more and more people that are just lifetime people that are wonderful and they love the horses and they do a great job. And it, you know, becomes easier again because those people are very capable of doing about anything the horse needs done.
How much time do you spend at the individual stables? Your stables are spread over a fairly large geographical area. How much time do you get to spend at each of them?
It's not as much as I used to. I used to, you know, be constantly on the move, and now basically I try to stay home more and have the horses shipped to me that have problems. Basically, like I tell the people, if you don't see me, that's good. That means things are going good. If you start seeing me a lot, that means things aren't good. So
yeah, it's like the old line, the boss is here, look busy.
Yeah, it's not a question of effort. Everybody gives a great effort. And just, you know, when things go wrong, you know, I've always said I'll take the credit when things go good, but I'll take the blame when things go bad. So if things are going bad, I feel like I should be there to try to, you know, help everybody, you know, straighten it out.
The buck stops with you. Speaking of Buck, we want to get to your stable star, Buckeye St. Pat, at least one of them. But first I want to ask you, as we said, you've got stables everywhere. The horses that you do send north to Canada or that you co-own, go to trainers like David Maneri and Bob McIntosh. The question is, will there be a Ron Burke stable in Canada in 2011?
We were all set to go. And the truth is, we've kind of fallen in love with David Maneri and the way he does things for us up there. It makes it so easy. He does a wonderful job. The horses race great. The bills are, you know, in line for where I feel that they should be. And so, you know, when the stake horses come, we'll bring ours just because I don't want to interrupt their program. But, you know, and as we go along and having race horses and things like that, we're totally comfortable right now with David training them all and we're thrilled with the association we've developed with him.
Yeah, well, you can't go wrong with a David Maneri. Let's talk about Buckeye St. Pat. This gal is like the Energizer Bunny, okay? She just keeps going. As a wannabe trainer, you know, I got to ask, how does she stay and how do you keep her so consistent?
The truth is she wants to do it. She loves the game. She loves racing. you can tell she's, you know, into the idea of exercise. So it's really not a big deal. Basically, as long as you, you know, make sure that the pain stays away, she'll give you everything she got. So she's my favorite horse of all time.
You gotta be. Where is she at right now? Training or still turned out?
She just started back in Florida. It's her yearly trip to Florida. She'll spend 3 months with my father and then head up here and, you know, get ready to do it again.
Yeah, but what kind of return date have you got in mind for her to start racing?
In the beginning of April, she'll be ready to go, you know, get a couple overnights in before her stake season starts. And then, you know, from there, it's basically she usually doesn't race unless it's a stake race.
Okay. Now, the last few years, she hasn't raced 3 times in Canada, and unfortunately, that means she's not eligible for the O'Briens. But few would argue she's the best trotting mare on the continent. Any plans to get her an extra start up here in 2011?
The truth is we may end up having to race her a little more up there, too, just due to the lack of opportunity for her in the United States. That's going to be the problem this year. I think we're going to lose the Miss Versatility Series, and that was always 4 starts for her. So the big problem this year is going to be finding places to race her.
Well, we would welcome her with open arms. On the other hand, you've got One the West. That one's eligible and nominated for an O'Brien, a tremendous 2010 season. You got to figure, this has got to be the most underrated horse to win $3.5 million in his career, don't you think?
Yeah, I think finally in the last, you know, 6 months, he started to get a little bit of the recognition that he had earned. But, you know, in the truth, in the time before, he's always been in somebody else's shadow. It seemed like he was always the one trying to knock down the next killer. So in the last couple, 6 months of the year, he became the horse. Mm. You know, Shark Jester maybe came back to him a little bit, and maybe he picked his game up. So, you know, I think this year he goes in as the horse to, you know, knock off the perch. And
sure.
We'll go from there and hopefully, you know, take a run at Gallo's record.
You raced him at my hometown track of Western Fair at the Molson Pace. Sadly, it was the year before that you lost one of my favorite all-time horses, Maltese Artist, in that race in the prelims. Did that run through your mind at all when One the West emerged victorious? That must have been an emotional win for you.
Yeah, Maltese for us is, you know, he's the one special horse. It was the horse that, you know, launched us onto the national scene, and so for us, you know, he's the one horse that, like, me and my father have an emotional attachment to.
Yeah. Well, he was just, he had so much guts. I mean, you know, I remember watching him race during Jug Week back in 06, and I was just so, I was always so impressed with him, and it's great to see that he did so much good for you. When will When the West be back on the track?
He's basically on the same, Buckeye him go the same, you know, pattern. They start together down Florida, they'll finish off down there together, and they'll head up to the Jersey barn together. So, you know, about the same time, get him ready. Thing will be with him is, you know, the uncertainty of the Meadowlands, you know, when do their series start, you know, always before he started for the series there, and, you know, we'll have to see what's going to be there, and you know, we'll go from there to him where he's going to race next.
What's the one race you haven't won that you'd most like to?
Probably the Houghton.
Okay.
You know, it's a big race. You know, before it would have been the Houghton and the Canadian Pacing Derby, and you know, he finally exercised our demons there, and pretty much that's, you know, now it's the Houghton, and you know, with him, every race is just so special that, you know, we're getting closer to something that if you'd have told me that he had any chance of going 2 years ago, I'd have said no way. So I think, you know, if he can get past Gallo, then it really does, you know, set him up as being one of the better horses to race of his era.
Tell me, when you were jogging a small stable back before all this happened, did you ever think it would get to be this big?
No, it's funny. Like when, you know, the slots were coming to PA, we made a conscious decision to gear up and take a run at, you know, getting our barn bigger, and figured we could make some money doing it. And, you know, it's very rarely that a plan works so well to perfection, and everything has gone just so great for all of us as a group, me, my owners, my father. And so, you know, it wasn't like we didn't think about trying to do something, but if you'd have said the numbers that we would have produced, we'd have said they're, you know, they're non-reachable. So even we've been surprised by how well the business has been to us, and you know, how well everything has gone for us.
Well, you got to be good to be lucky, my friend, and you're both. So good for you.
No, it's a group effort, and that's the thing is, pieces have fallen in part. Like every time, like another person joins, be it an owner, a trainer, or drivers. You know, Yannick, David, mm-hmm. Brian. You know, you just like think, you know, here's another thing that's going to help us maybe like step up a little more. And every time you think, well, we can't do any better, and you add one more piece, you're like, you know what? That's a million-dollar person there. That, you know, that person's going to really help us, and that's, you know, basically what we've done.
And it's the most fun business in the world at times.
No, it is. Even in the bad times, it's still a great business. It's competition. It's like for all of us. My father has said, you know, it's like playing a game for a living, and and I'm sure it's why he's 74 years old and still going full-time and, you know, probably having the best time of his life.
Beautiful. Ron Burke, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Continued success, and good luck at the O'Briens.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.